organised to talk to Josh Bruce about packing merchandise and the like. Josh, great to have you on the program.
G'day, Jared. How are you, mate?
Did you feel that earthquake?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I was sitting in the car, just parked on Beach Road at some traffic lights, just like the previous caller. And, yeah, the car just started shaking. I was like, side to side, side to side. I was like, that's weird. Like, I was at a standstill. And then my wife called me and she just sprinted in and got our son out of the cot because the whole house was shaking and dust falling from the roof. She thought it was going to fall down. So he was asleep. So, yeah, pretty scary. Good Lord. And I've got friends back home in Canberra who said they felt it as well. So it must have hit a lot of the East Coast.
Jeepers.
They messaged kind of simultaneously. So, yeah, first one I've ever felt. That's very scary. Hope everyone's okay.
Yeah, yeah. These are strange times. Hey, Josh, I wanted to have a chat. We saw the picture tweeted by the chief executive a couple of days ago that you're in at the club packing merchandise, which I think is the most beautiful image. How are you keeping yourself busy this week?
Anything to get out of the house, Jared, as you know. I was in at the club doing some rehab stuff on my knee, and I'm doing some coaching with the AFL Women's as well. So I had a little bit of time to kill in between those two things, and the guys up there are just getting absolutely smashed with merchandise purchases, which is just fantastic to see. And you know, the entire Barker's Cafe there is just awash with merchandise and postage and all sorts of stuff. So I sat down for a little bit of time and had a chin wag and helped them out a little bit. I mean, I definitely wasn't there for 8 hours, and Bainesy put a little bit of mayo on it, that's for sure. But it's really good, and they're doing a fantastic job, and the members are coming out in full force.
So there's a tyranny to being separated from it at this time, Josh, but there's a clear connection that you've been able to maintain. How are you finding it?
Yeah, I mean, it obviously is extremely difficult at times. You know, the 2 hours on game day are the hardest, and then, you know, the hour afterwards, especially after the victories that we've been having, are really tough not to be there and be involved and feel that in person. Even on the sidelines as an injured player, it would be great to just be there and experience it. You know, but obviously, I'm not the only person that's, you know, made sacrifices this season, and I'm just so proud of you know, of the group and of the players and of the staff and everyone that's, you know, given up their time and spent time away from their families and loved ones to help us get to where the team is this weekend.
Are you having emotional fluctuations given that it's a 10-year career that's taken you through a few twists and turns and just how close you were to it?
Yeah, big time. Yeah, big time. And obviously, it's only natural to feel a tinge of sadness and a tinge of jealousy. And, you know, there was games where I burst into tears after the Brisbane game. You know, I just burst into tears at the final try, and I couldn't hold it back. I just felt such a longing to be there and to be involved in finals like that. I thought that this year was going to be the year for me. You know, everything seemed to be lining up perfectly, and to have it ripped away at the last minute, it's been bloody tough to deal with. But, you know, I've had nearly 2 months now to kind of process a little bit, and, you know, I still have moments in every single day, but it is getting slightly easier, and I've moved on to just wishing the team to have as much success as we can. And I know that, you know, we're such a young side, so fingers crossed everything goes well and I can get back in next year and have another tilt at it.
Do you have to go through a grieving process with it, Josh, as it happens in the dying seconds of a game so late in the season? I don't imagine there's really any rationalising it. How do you work through it?
Yeah, it is like a grieving process. I mean, I've had close friends and loved ones obviously pass away, but it's not similar to that. But the grieving process is tough. Like when they did the initial test on my knee, I just knew it wasn't there. It was fully ruptured. I broke down for an hour and a half, and then, you know, once I got that initial hysterics out of the way, I felt a little bit better. And then, you know, I've cried probably at least every week about it.
Yeah.
So yep. It does get easier with time, as all things do. So.
Have you had any conversations or any messages that in particular have resonated with you and you've drawn some level of comfort or guidance from?
Yeah, I mean, I've had some really, really amazing messages from people. You know, the people and the community that have reached out to me is just, you know, it's really humbling. One in particular was Chris Grant. Obviously, he's the director of football at the Dogs. He messaged me about a week in and, you know, kind of explained to me that he did his knee at the same time, 29 years old, and, you know, he at the time thought that maybe it was curtains on his career. But it ended up being a really powerful thing for him, and it actually prolonged his career for another 5 or 6 years. And it was a really special message to get from someone that I respect so much and has achieved so much in his career. And then, you know, some of the other coaches that I've had have reached out to me. Obviously, you know, Choco Williams is coaching with Melbourne this weekend, but he was my initial head coach of the Giants. And I had some really tough times at the Giants. I probably wasn't developing as well as I should have. My professionalism definitely wasn't up to standard. In my first few years, I didn't really knew what it took. And, you know, he sent me a really beautiful message about how much I've developed as a person and as a player. And just to hear that from some of the guys, it's really humbling to know that, you know, it's definitely not all doom and gloom. So.
Yeah. So how will Saturday night look for you? Have you thought about it? Are you trying not to? Do you have a bit of a plan? What's your approach going to be to the grand final itself?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure. It's obviously, it's going to be a long day waiting for a night game. But I think I'm going to try and watch it just with some friends and family. You know, Lim Jong lives in the area. He's another freshly retired player. So I might try and watch it with him. And have a couple of beers and just try and relax and watch it as a spectator. It's gonna be tough either way, but hopefully we can get over the line.
And you found yourself drawn into the overall debate about medals for members of the team and for the overall. Have you actually got a firm position on that, or have you been drawn into that sort of unwittingly?
I did get sucked in a little bit, and it was tongue in cheek.
Yep.
With the way that I was saying it, but I think that it's probably tradition has to stand. I think, you know, there's hard luck stories, and there's been hard luck stories for the last, you know, however long. So I think that, you know, the 22 or 23 guys that run out there are the ones that do really win it. So, and I think now that it's funny, like if I did actually get presented with a medal now, I'd almost feel like I didn't deserve it. So it's kind of an interesting one at times. So.
It is. It's for the overall, I think, rather than for the individuals who find themselves, unfortunately, in the position. Josh, thanks for taking the call. Safe travels. Yes, check in at home. And it's been great to see the connection to the club, the FaceTimes during the songs and the like. It's been quite brilliant. So good luck with the rest of it.
Thanks, Jared. Good luck with the earthquake.
Yes, thank you. Josh Bruce with us this morning. So I'm really pleased that he was able to take that call.